No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Today, we got the one and only Pac-Man, the Gunman, in the building. How you doing, G?
Solid, bro. How you feeling?
Excellent.
That's right.
Life is good.
And yeah. As long as I see you, huh?
Yeah. Hey, man. We're living good. Fucking. Yeah. I've been looking forward to getting this interview for a while now. I got a bunch of mutual friends. AD's lazy ass wasn't able to clear time in his schedule to come hang out with us today. But
yeah,
I'm stoked to have you on here. Tell me a little bit about exactly where you grew up and what your upbringing was like.
Said I grew up in the Crenshaw District, specifically on 8th Ave and 63rd.
Right.
And between Florence and Slauson, you know what I'm saying? Pretty much my whole life right there, you know, grew up in the hood, and, you know, it's just like every other ghetto, you know what I'm saying? It's all the same.
Right.
Yeah.
But so you grew up with both parents or you have siblings?
I had two sisters growing up, and me, my mom, my two sisters, and then later on, I had a little brother.
Okay.
And so pretty much grew up in the house with all women.
Right.
Yeah.
You think that shaped who you are as a person?
It was a balance because I used the hood as a father, you know what I'm saying? Then I really had a mother. So it pretty much worked out. You know, moms went into the streets and she really wasn't going for that type of shit. So,
really?
You know what I'm saying? I snuck out every chance I get to explore, you know what I'm saying?
Do you think your mom was sort of naive to what was going on in the streets, or did she know and she just wanted to keep you away from it?
Nah, she wasn't naive to it. She knew what was going on and she tried her best to keep me away, but at the same time, she got to go work and make sure the bills get paid. We got food, make sure we got a roof over our head. And during them times, that's when I'm able to explore, go outside, sneak out, and shit like that.
Do you think that you just had it in you that you were fascinated by that kind of stuff from the beginning? Because, like, I talked to my parents. They tell me that I was always, like, really attracted to the bad guy in the movie. I think that's a bad sign. I think if your kid is into that kind of shit, then he's the type that's going to want to go explore, like you're talking about.
Yeah, most definitely. Because, you know, I got to walk home from school. I got to walk to school. And I see this shit from morning to the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm gonna be with them. Them the Crips. You know what I'm saying? 6-7, that's how I felt, you know what I'm saying?
Right, but so that was the only thing you were exposed to? You didn't have, like, blood shit going on in your neighborhood or whatever, so it was obvious to you that you were, you were going to sign up, you were going to be with the Crips?
Yeah, for sure. I ain't know nothing else. I just hear about it, but I ain't see it. I just know about the roll of 60s, you know
right.
what I'm saying? As I got older, but this was elementary when I was speaking on this, because that was in my environment.
When you're first getting exposed to it, yeah.
But then, you know, as you grow more, then you know about the other side and the other colors and shit like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, okay, you're, like, in elementary school, but were you ever, like, taken to school, or was school always just sort of, like, an afterthought, something that you didn't really want anything to do with?
I mean, school was cool. School, that's where all the girls was at. That's where you got to get your girls from, go to school, get your girls. You know, make some money, shoot dice. And then I'm talking about at the age of, you know, now we're in middle school, Horseman, Crenshaw, high school, and all that shit. Yeah, nigga wanted to go to school.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. When you look back at those times, though, like, what was the thing that led you to be so attracted to the gang lifestyle? Was it the fact that, like, you just feel like you're not really, like, with anyone? Like, it's sort of dangerous in that environment to be, like, on your own. Did you see it as a way of, like, self-preservation, or was it just something you were interested in? How did that work?
It kind of just grew naturally. You know how it ain't really no introduction in a friendship. You don't walk up to be like, yeah, I'm Pac-Man, I'm Wootuwomp, hey, let's be friends. It kind of just, you know, happened that way. You know what I'm saying? It really wasn't no introduction.
Right.
That's what I grew up on.
Did you start to, like, once you sort of got more familiar with that, did you start getting into more and more wild-ass shit? Like, was it expected of you that you were going to be, really doing shit?
Man, just staying down, you know what I'm saying? Through all the obstacles, all you got to do is stand down, you know what I'm saying? And, don't do no busted shit. You got to be straight.
I feel it. So was BH one of the first connections that you had to the music industry or to that kind of thing? Like, how'd you meet him?
BH, he from the hood too. He stayed around the corner from me.
Right.
I was on 63rd. He was on 60th. And we went to Crenshaw together.
Uh-huh.
We seen each other. You know what I'm saying? We knew each other as kids. And he was rapping and whatnot. And cuz invited me to the studio one day. He like, let's go do a song. Whoa, whoa. But I'm like, nah, you know, I'm hustling.
Right.
I ain't trying to do no music or not, but he talked me into going to a studio at his house. He had a setup in his room, and we did a little freestyle. He played the shit back, and I heard my voice. I'm like, that shit hard.
Right.
And so the next day, I went to the Guitar Center, bought all the cheapest shit, that they had, like the cheapest Airbox, cheap Pro Tools and all that shit.
Right.
And at the time I was recording off a PC.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I never looked back since then.
Really? So had you never thought about possibly having musical talent prior to that?
Nah, I like music though. I was a fan of like the Hot Boys and shit, you know, that's my era. Born in 91, grew up 98, 99, Guerrilla Warfare and all that.
That's interesting though, like when you're listening to Hot Boys, did it kind of occur to you that this is sort of out of the ordinary for you to be such a huge fan of that? Because growing up in LA, it's almost like expected that like LA kids are supposed to be mega fans of LA style music, right?
I mean, that's what they say, but man, I was a Hot Boy fan for sure.
Right. Yeah. Realistically, I interview people all the time from LA who are like, yeah, I grew up obsessed with Kodak Black or Gucci Mane or whatever the fuck it is. A lot of times it's down south shit, realistically. Facts. Okay, so you start recording then, and like, how did you just, felt like you had a talent for it right away? Like, what drew you to that?
Just the playback, really. After hearing yourself on the record and being a fan of music, and then you realize you can do it, yeah, I'm like, fuck it, let's get it.
Right, definitely. You know what I'm saying? Were you what was your original content like? Like the kind of stuff that you were rapping about in the beginning when you look back at those days, what kind of stuff were you rapping about?
Just rapping about the daily shit we were doing every day, you know what I'm saying? Still today, you know, just rapping from experience, because I feel like that's where the best music come from.
Right.
And that's always been a part of me to like rap from experience, you know what I'm saying? The shit I see every day, you know what I'm saying? The shit I'm doing. Need to go put that on wax.
Definitely. How did the Nip connection take place? I'm assuming that was through BH. Did he know him first?
Nah, we all from the same hood. So like I said, it ain't like no introduction. This shit just kind of like naturally happened. Heard about me, I heard about him. We see each other, talk. Mind you, he a few years older than me, you know what I'm saying? So he was already doing music, I was hustling. I was probably about 13, 14 hustling. We already knew each other, but we ain't never really kicked it because he was older.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But shit, later on, throughout the years, he started hearing more about me, about what I'm doing in the streets and shit, you know what I'm saying? He started tapping in with a nigga, and we started, took it from there. So it really wasn't like no introduction, it was just like on some... You fuck with solid niggas, you know what I'm saying? If you hear some busted shit about a nigga, you ain't gonna fuck with him.
Right.
But if you hear like, all right, your cuz one of the ones,
yeah,
and you go tap in and you go fuck with him.
And I assume that for somebody like you, looking at what he was doing with his career and being somebody who was really from the same place as you and able to, you know, like, cause he was doing both. He was like a big celebrity that everybody knew about, but then he was also hustling in a way where it wasn't like he just came into a record label and just signed his life away and said, here, just make me a career. You know, he was really hustling. Yeah. You saw it through the marketing, through the different things that he was doing, that he really wanted to be involved with the business angle of everything he was doing.
Exactly. He started out the trunk. I used to see him in that Toyota.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Grinding out the trunk, CDs, Slauson Boy Volume 1, and every liquor store in the hood. You know what I'm saying? So he was out there hustling for real.
Right. So did that kind of help you gain an understanding of exactly what you needed to be doing to take your music to the next level?
Man, go hard. Don't quit. Just keep it up.
Right.
And that's under every aspect what you're doing in life. If you really want it, you got to keep going. Fuck the bumps in the road.
Right.
Keep pushing.
Definitely. Because you're on what, like 17 mixtapes by now or some
damn
shit?
Damn near like that. I done lost count, bro. I put out a gang of projects.
Right. Is that how you first like wanted people to hear your music? Because a lot of people nowadays, they come out and they just do the music video thing and they just sort of focus on like, oh, if I can put out a fire visual and get a million views on just this visual, then it don't really matter if I have a whole project or nothing like that.
Man, as long as I can get the music out, that'll bring you longevity.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? The more you work, you just want to be in it for the long run. Some people just want to hit, get a check and bounce.
Right.
Nah, we need this shit to live forever. Like 20 years from now, you need to be playing Pac-Man the Gunman.
Mm.
30 years, even when I'm gone, still play my shit.
How did you feel, like how did your buzz start to come about and like when did people actually start noticing that you had talent?
My hardest verse, I believe, when I first started on a song called Stu with Newport and Conrad.
Okay.
I think that was my hardest verse because for a long time, I was the underdog, you know what I'm saying? So that verse, that's when they started looking. They're like, oh, all right. A lot of people thought I was just gonna play with it, just fuck around, you know what I'm saying? But when I started switching it up, cause I used to read the comments on YouTube and shit, and they'd be like, oh yeah, your shit sound the same, you ain't switching up the flow, and all this. So I took that in consideration and started, you know, exploring, you know, the cadences and shit.
That's interesting because a lot of people will just read the comments and think that they're haters, or some people might read the comments and just be like, man, fuck it, I give up. Yeah. But you listened to it and actually took some of the advice.
Yeah, them niggas be insecure. The niggas would look at it like that.
Right.
You know I'm cool with criticism, good or bad. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna better me either way it go.
Yeah, because if you read a comment that's just like, oh, you're a piece of shit, it's like, well, whatever.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm not gonna learn nothing from that. Like, yeah. if somebody, because sometimes the comments that are real, like, you know, you read 100 comments and one of them will just really just boom, dagger in your fucking heart. Like, damn, this dude knows what I'm doing wrong. Like, I gotta actually listen to this random ass comment.
Yeah, for sure. That's it. They used to get me mad, but you know, I forget about it the next day. Like, fuck it, cuz. But I just, they take all the criticism, you know, doctor it up.
Mm, definitely. So, okay, when did you and Nip have a conversation about All Money In or your involvement or you guys working together? When did that conversation start?
Man, see, he just seen me working when I pull up on him before I drop a project. Like, check this out, what you think about this? Well, here, listen, give me an ear, give me some feedback. And one day, like, man, put the logo on the front. Like, put the All Money In logo on the front of the cover. Whoa, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much, that was the moment right there.
It wasn't even a conversation, really?
It was really even no conversation. It just kind of like, put the logo on the front. Whoa. Then that's how we did it.
Damn, that's just simple like that, huh?
Yeah.
That's good, though, when things can work out and it doesn't need to be a, like, you know, a real business type situation, right? If it just seemed obvious to you.
Yeah, for sure.
Was like J Stone and BH, were they already like formally a part of the movement at that time too?
They was already a part of that shit for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's what's up. So in terms of the actual music making process, did Nip influence that side of things for you too? Like, was he somebody who, you know, when you guys were working together, was giving you advice or like teaching you how to actually put music together?
Yeah, Hustle, you know, he was a perfectionist, you know what I'm saying? If you're recording around Hustle and you're doing something for him or even something for yourself, he gonna make you do it over a million times until you get it right.
Really?
If it ain't right, it ain't gonna fly with Hustle.
That's interesting because that shows like a real level of camaraderie. Yeah. Because if it's someone that you like halfway know and he starts telling you how to record your verse or whatever, there's a pretty good chance you can tell him to fuck off, right? But you were receptive to that energy?
Yeah. I mean, he wouldn't tell me nothing wrong. You know what I'm saying? And I hear how this shit turned out. So it was dope.
No, yeah, that's a fact. Because a lot of times, like, you know, I hear rappers and I'll be in the studio, I hear somebody do a verse, and I'll be thinking, like, man, if I was this guy's manager, if I was the producer or whatever, I might tell him that verse could sound a little, you know, like, a lot of times there's value in just, like, making shit perfect. And when you're in you're in the moment and you're just in a cloud of, like, creativity, you're not necessarily hearing if something is a little off beat or if something was pronounced a little odd.
Straight up.
Yeah, I hear that. Okay, so you guys all just basically start, the All Money In thing, like basically, was it ever planned out that you guys were going to do some extra shit, like do like a fucking group album? Was that ever discussed? Was that ever in the works?
Yeah, we had already started a project, compilation, All Money In compilation. And we was cooking probably for like a couple months already. Before the tragic, we was in there probably, I think, 5 days a week, probably like 12 hours a day. Nip would take, like, we'd get the day session, and then Hustle would take the night. You know what I'm saying? So we split at 12. But Hustle would be there all through the day while we working, too.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, we was working on the All Money In comp.
Did he have a big effect on your, you know, your work ethic as well? Because it feels like, you know, there's certain people like who really will be in the studio working on music 12 hours a day. But it's like sometimes I feel like an artist needs to see another successful artist living like that to realize like, oh, I need to give up that big of a percentage of my day if I really want to do this shit.
Yeah, most definitely, man. If you want it, he always told me don't play with it. If you ain't gonna do it all the way, don't even bother wasting your time with it.
No, that's real. So once you start getting these opportunities and stuff, though, how did that change? Like, you were still living in the hood, or did you want to get out of there at some point? How did that change how you wanted to be living?
I was still living in the hood and shit, but I ended up leaving, you know, going somewhere more peaceful. You know what I'm saying? You get tired of getting harassed every day by the police and shit like that, because niggas popping up at your door when you don't feel like being bothered and shit like that.
Right.
But so the best thing to do is to grow, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to stay in a bubble.
Right.
Go get some peace.
So the cops were more of an issue than, you know, just you being famous. Well, I guess it's all fame related or whatever, but.
Yeah, even before that shit, man, they were just harassing me because they knew me throughout the hood.
Right.
I was, you know what I'm saying? They knew who I was and shit. So they weren't really they harass a nigga every chance they get.
Cops are some of the biggest rap fans in the game, right?
Yeah, they act like it.
They love rappers more than anybody. I constantly be having conversations with rappers about, like, man, like, they were playing my fucking music when I was in bookings.
Yeah,
and
they be doing that type of shit.
Mm.
I remember I went to jail for some shit one time. I was in the holding tank, and the undercover was booking, like, a smoker or something. And he seen who I was. Cuz get to talking. He was like, hey, you fuck with what's Cuz say? He say some shit like, you fuck with Glasses Malone? I be playing this music, whatever, whatever. I'm like, yeah, I fuck with Cuz shit.
Right.
Then Cuz, that was it.
That's a weird part. Like, you think about, like, you know, back in the 70s or some shit, the 80s, like, you got these old-ass white police officers, but now the police force is a lot more multicultural, and hip-hop has just been so huge for so long that, of course, these people are fans of rap music, you know? It's like,
because they're humans. Niggas ain't robots.
Yeah, it's weird, right? So in terms of dealing with cops in your area and stuff, though, would you still say that the situation is really fucked up, just as bad as when you were a kid, or you feel like it's gotten better in some ways?
Yeah, and I'm still fucked up. As long as they got the authority, they go keep doing what they want to do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I just stay away from them.
Yeah, I feel it. Do you feel like your mental state is a lot better now that you don't live in the middle of everything?
Yeah, most definitely. I can sleep peaceful now. You know what I'm saying? And ain't on the same bullshit I used to be on to be paranoid like that. You know right. what I'm saying? So yeah, everything changed. Everything did a 360, bro, for real, for real.
That's amazing. Do you ever feel like your neighbors look at you like wondering who the hell this guy is? You make friends with the neighbors?
Man, I just moved because my neighbors is weird, bro.
Really?
God, them niggas be knocking at the door, dropping off Patron bottles and all type of shit, cuz. And just knocking on the door, want to talk to a nigga, see me, walk into my apartment, they want to stop and take a picture. Like, come on, cuz, it's 2 a.m.
Really?
On 60s, no cap.
What weird ass neighbors you're describing right here. That's crazy.
Yeah, weirdos, fool.
It's like, yo, I just want to be left alone. Like, I want to be left alone as much as possible.
Yeah, for sure.
Yo, that's crazy. Because people really be thinking that you want to be, like, fucking famous in your place of residence. It's like, no, this is the place where I want to be a regular ass dude. And I don't want you to say shit to me.
Yeah, straight up.
That's hilarious.
Hell yeah.
In your music, I feel like you talk about betrayal and being being betrayed by, like, former friends of yours a lot. Is that something you've had to deal with a lot over the years?
Man, for sure, for sure. I think everybody deal with that type of shit, and that's why I speak on it so much, because me personally, I have. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the niggas be fake, your peers be fake, your homies be fake, and it be all fake love, and I can see right through it. It took some years for me to understand it, but I'm like, all right. It used to get me mad, but now it's just what's the best for niggas, you know what I'm saying?
Are you more often referring to, like, snitch type situations, or are you just talking about people who just want to be around you for the money or the opportunity?
It don't even be that. It just be like on some fake happy shit because they want to be in the position that I'm in, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, niggas, they don't even be doing music. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I don't understand you niggas. You got the same 24 hours, cuz, go get it.
It's easy to forget how little so many people have, that for them to just, like, be around somebody who's doing something is, a lot of times to them, that's, like, the best come up that they have available to them at that time.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's just kind of sad. So, you know, at this point, your circle, is it just very, very important for you to keep your circle small and try to only be allowing people into your bubble that are actually trustworthy?
Yeah, most definitely, man. You know, I'm real careful with that. Who I let around my energy. Because I don't want my energy being contaminated with some negative energy. You know what I'm saying? That's not the type of time I'm on right now.
Definitely. When you were mentioning before that you've dealt with some arrests and doing some time and stuff, you ever do any, like, serious bids?
No, I ain't got no time. It was just they arrest me for some bullshit, trying to make it stick. I bail out, fight it on the streets.
Okay.
And beat it.
Okay.
DA rejects and shit like that because it be bullshit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I ain't did no time.
That's good. I also heard you say that you had a mental breakdown a couple of years ago in the song.
Yeah, well, Hustle Pass.
Oh, okay, that's when it actually happened.
Yeah, that shit was fucked up. You know what I'm saying? They killed my nigga for sure.
What? Yeah, like, what did it do to you mentally? Like, what was the stuff that was repeating in your head during that time period that made you feel like you were going through?
I just shut down. Really, I ain't wanna. I just converted back to the old one because at the time I'm trying to make a transition.
Mm.
Like, all right, we doing this project. We about to. I'm 1,000,000% focused on music.
Mm.
But when that shit happened, I'm back riding with guns every day at the time. There's nobody I could trust. I ain't got nobody to pull up on. shit like that. So I was like, you know, I just shut down. I ain't want to fuck with nobody.
Yeah, when I seen like the Puma campaign and all of his artists and his girl being brought together and stuff, though, I thought that that was really powerful. Has that unit like stayed very strong during that time period? Has that brought y'all together to some extent?
Definitely, we stayed together. Matter of fact, we was all still in communication, been in communication. You know what I'm saying? Everything just don't be in the public eye; should be private. We text, talk. You know what I'm saying? Shit like that.
Yeah, because that, I mean, that must be a crazy thing for you to witness, just knowing that y'all were like really friends, and then to see, I mean, there's got to be a lot of people who were posting him up and talking about him like he was their best friend, and you're sitting there just knowing like y'all like didn't give a shit about this person until this happened, right?
I don't understand them niggas. They still fuck with niggas who feel a certain way about my nigga.
Right.
So how y'all still following niggas that talk bad about my nigga? You know what I'm saying? Nigga, all you niggas is clowns. Everybody that follow a clown, I'm saying, I don't fuck with them.
Right.
I can't.
Yeah, because there was a lot of, like, you know, conversation that happened around his name. I don't want to, like, necessarily go into names by anybody, but you don't sound like you were very pleased with his, you know, legend status being questioned and whatnot in his passing.
Man, you know, nigga don't want to get too deep in it, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, a clown gonna be a clown, bro. What's the best for them niggas, cuz? But, you know, don't nothing go unanswered, though.
Right.
Everything come to a head. I don't give a fuck if it's next week, next year, or 10 years from now. This shit gonna come to a head.
Is it hard for you to remain level-headed when you have people saying things that you don't appreciate about your guy?
I mean, just stay off the internet. That's how I deal with it. Stay off the internet, cause the internet full of clowns. Instagram is full of bozos, fake niggas, clowns, and all that shit. And I don't want no parts.
Right.
And that's where I protect my energy. You know what I'm saying? I get on the gram and post up, and then leave. I ain't finna go read comments, look at people's pages, and hear what niggas talking about.
Is it kind of hard for you to draw that balance, though? Because on one hand, like, you got to be on social media if you want to, you know, promote your music and be about your career and stuff. But like, you get on social media, I can almost guarantee you going through your DMs or your comments, you're going to see something that you think is disrespectful, you don't appreciate.
Man, as a human, cuz, nigga want to react, but, you know, just think about it. What would Hustle do, cuz? He ain't tolerating no clown shit.
Definitely. How do you feel about the state of, you know, L.A. hip-hop right now, a couple years removed from Nip passing and whatnot? You know, like, it feels like that was a huge blow to the city in some ways. Maybe it might have encouraged some people to go harder with their music and stuff, but like what do you think of the overall LA right now?
LA, I think LA doing their part, you know, everybody grinding, working, you know, putting their best foot forth, and for the ones who ain't, I hope they get up on it soon. You know what I'm saying? But I think LA working, I think it's cool.
Right. Yeah, so do you ever feel like you're sort of at risk of getting kind of out of touch with what's going on in L.A. and the streets and whatnot, being that you're set back a little bit and then you've sort of chosen to, like, remove yourself from a lot of what's going on in a way?
Nah. I mean, I did my part for the streets. I did everything I had to do in my prime. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know, it's about taking care of your kids. You know what I'm saying? Getting your family out the way. Making sure you survive. You know what I'm saying? Nigga did enough for the hood.
Definitely. How many kids you got now?
One.
One. How's that going? How old?
He finna be 2 in April.
Wow.
Yeah, he bad. He bad as shit.
He's bad as shit.
Yeah, he bad.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I got mine popping out any day now, so I'm kind of...
Yeah, congrats on that, too. Appreciate you excited it. For it?
Your super first one? Excited. Yeah, first one.
That's big.
Everybody I know did it like a decade or two before me, but fuck it.
Yeah, late is better than never. You ain't even late. You right on time, really.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? Yeah, 36.
Yeah, that's cool.
Should be going off to college. I'll be like a nice, cool 50.
Why
not? Wait, no. Yeah. No, older than 50. I'm being too nice to myself right there. Okay, but like, so how do you, you know, being sort of like being in this game for so long and stuff, being like, how do you view the streets and like the gangbanging world that you sort of grew up looking at in awe? Like, do you still look at it with the same respect and the same appreciation that you had when you were younger? Or is there a part of you that sees the negative side of some of those things as well?
Man, I like the gangbang world when I went from the hood, when I was younger. It was like the rules was getting followed around that time, excuse me. they threw the rule book away for like today's generation.
Really?
Bozo shit going on. I like when it was like niggas scared to gang bang.
Right.
When niggas didn't want to walk around the corner. When niggas didn't want to come outside.
Mm.
It was a time when you had an issue. Hey, is Whoop the Whoop here? And mom's answering the door. That shit out. Because this shit right here.
The internet ruined it?
Ruined it.
The internet ruined a lot of things.
This shit.
You see it. That's way more common than real life beefing. Yeah,
for sure. For sure. That shit crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, this shit watered down, though. But, you know.
Definitely. Could you ever see yourself, like, finding your own artists and, like, working with younger artists? Is that something you put any effort into?
Yeah, most definitely, man. For real, for real. I plan on building new artists, you know, up and coming artists and shit like that. Like, right now, I'm building the studio just so, you know, just in case, you know, I do take that role and get artists that have, like, a compound to work at and shit.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Do you, in terms of the music and stuff, though, you still feel that, like, same motivation to just consistently get better and just make new shit?
Yeah, most definitely, man. Just keep it coming.
I respect it for sure. What are you working on now? I've been listening to the new project. What's it called? It's got a Spanish name.
Esta Loca Vida Mia.
Right. Where'd that theme come from?
Man, it's years back, Hustle had a song called Esta Loca Vida Mia, but he never put it out.
Oh, really?
And I always thought it was a dope concept and a dope song. He never released it. He got the gang shit, he never released.
Right.
And I always liked that name, that title. So I'm like, yeah, let me just go on and run with that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so what else are you working on? What else could we be expecting coming in the future?
Man, I'm working on this project with Young T.O.
We're
in the process. We're probably like 50, 60% done with that.
Oh, that's what's up.
We at the studio cooking right now, matter of fact.
Oh, really? So you're not sending shit back and forth? You're really in the studio?
We working together. Pulling up. He up there right now, right down the street. So
fire.
When I leave here, I'm going back up there. You finna release that project, though, probably like in the next 30 to 60 days.
Right.
Yeah. After the we finished promoing on this one, on my new project.
That's what's up. Hell yeah. Anything else that we should know? Anything else we should look for? What's your message to the people out there?
Man, shit, just keep grinding. Stay sucker free. You know what I'm saying? Don't let nobody contaminate your energy. You know what I'm saying? Do you. Be the best version of you and keep the shit going.
That's real.
Straight up.
I probably should have told you at the beginning of this, but when I went to 7-Eleven earlier to grab coffee, I seen like a 50-year-old Mexican dude in a Pac-Man shirt. And I was like, that's a sign. That's a sign.
I've been buying them Pac-Man scratchers because I keep losing, though. $5 a shot because I ain't won yet, man.
For real shit.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like getting into my like lucky state of mind now, though, because when I saw that dude's shirt, I was like, oh, that means this interview is going to go good. And then you just said that, and I was like, damn, I got to go buy some scratch tickets. He said it.
No, don't buy that shit, cuz.
That's like the saddest shit like that I ever seen. When I used to live in Brooklyn, I would see dudes get, you know, their check and just buy, you know, fucking 50 scratch tickets.
I never understood them type of people. What
such a weird thing to be addicted to, man.
Yeah, that's weird, fool. You might spend 100 and win 15 back. Oh my God.
For real, man. Just get a Four Loko or some shit if you need to be addicted to something.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Pac-Man, y'all, appreciate your time, man. Thank you for coming through.
No love, bro.
For sure. Thank you, bro.
Yes, sir.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, and iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support. Appreciate you, man.
Love, bro.